Welcome back, comedy fans, to an all-new comedy at the Carlson Cast. There's Spider-Ham's arch-nemesis, it's Vinny Paulino. Took him out in two bites. Look what just fell out of Santa's sack, it's Brian Ball.
Put it back!
Here's that guy, he's fabulous. He got nice presents for Christmas, I bet. And then, of course, everybody's favorite, Cam Taylor's not here today, it's Adam Stringer taking over instead. That's not a picture of him. Of course, our guest is Mr. Josh Wolf.
Hey, everybody, welcome to today's edition of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I am here so pleasantly. Plump? I guess that's really the only word you can use after pleasantly. I am your pleasant host. I'm in a great mood today. I've been doing really nice things all week.
You're all snuggly.
Bringing the holiday spirit to people all over town. Yeah. I've been doing all sorts of good charitable things this week.
We got to talk about that sweater for a second, though.
What's wrong with it?
It's a lot of sweater. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, it's a lot of sweater. Great. I'm a lot of man.
So many sheep have died. No, I guess you don't have to kill a sheep.
How many sheep?
only if you do it right.
I like to feel they didn't die in vain, Brian.
I legitimately thought that sheep died to make sweaters for a second there.
It's an outfit and it's a meal.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, they like for their sins. Like I don't.
Yeah, just because they had it coming, not because it
for
was
sweater
necessary.
Sins. No, I'm just warm and comfortable, man. Don't knock that. We can't all wear Party of Five stripy shirts from 97.
It's laundry day.
I understand. Yeah. But he came in this morning, and Ross is here. Hey, Ross.
Hey, man.
Don't show Ross, but nope. get rid of him.
Get gone. Get rid of him.
Get
him out of here.
Don't ruin the illusion.
We're not ready for Ross yet.
I'm not here.
He came in and we were just laughing because you weren't dressed like an old-timey guy today. You're dressed like a guy trying to go back.
I didn't have the hat.
To prom. Yeah.
I didn't realize the hat was a required uniform now. You didn't put the memo out for that.
No, it's not. We just enjoy it when you wear the hats.
Requires three pieces of flair and a hat.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like we're going to have a good show today. Josh Wolf is here. I'm comfortable. It's going to be good. I really can't complain at all. There's some big exciting things happening at the club this winter. I guess we're in the winter season now, right?
Yeah.
Big thing. We didn't announce it last week, and I told you I would. I'm a jerk. I'm sorry, but we will announce it right now.
That's not
hit it. Show me that new comic night coming up Friday, January 18th, 8 p.m. sign up, 8:30 p.m. drawing. We have 20 spots available.
It was a blast the last time.
20 spots available. That's all we're giving out. 25-minute spots. So if you think you're funny, if you've never done comedy before, if you've been doing comedy at some of the open mics and you want to come out and give it a shot on one of our stages, you are all welcome to show up at 8 and sign up. We're going to draw for those spots at 8:30, and the show will start at 9 o'clock after the Preacher Lawson shows.
Awesome.
So that means there's going to be a ton of people in the building, and we are going to try to get as many of them into the showroom as we can, into the Rickles room.
And if you're coming just to watch, still show up early.
Yeah,
because that was standing room only last time, and that's going to happen again.
And I'll tell you what I enjoyed the most about the last one is the fact that the comics all did a great job. They all came and did well, and it was really a fun show. So, new comic night, Friday, January 18th. And it's a good night of the week for it, a Friday night.
Yep.
It won't get out too late. You can sleep in Saturday morning.
Yeah.
You can't beat it. So, that being said, I'm going to get our sponsor stuff together because we got to talk about them before the show starts. I should also remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that the text line is open. So if you have questions for Josh Wolf, you can start texting him now, 585-484-0265. Send him in. Make sure you put your name in there so I know who to attribute the question to, because I don't want to steal it. I'm not looking to steal your questions.
Just your souls.
Oh.
See what I did there?
Good one.
Yeah, it took a minute.
Good one, James Vanderdork.
Oh.
Ross giggled. Ross giggled. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, hey, back to me, baby. Let's talk about our sponsors. Why don't you kick it up to my PC there, Adam? Vin PC. Nope. Oh, there you go, buddy. Sapori Cafe Catering, located inside the Powers Building Atrium. They can also cater your special event. You have a holiday party coming up. You got a winter party coming up. You got Valentine's Day party coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, but
Kwanzaa?
You might. And you Kwanzaa, Hanukkah.
Yeah.
It's over.
Nothingka. If you don't celebrate anything and you just want a nice dinner.
Buddha's birthday is in January.
Buddha's birthday. Go get yourself lunch on Buddha's birthday. And maybe they'll name a sandwich after you on Buddha's birthday.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Brian Ball's Boring Burger.
You can't have burgers.
Inside the Powers Building Atrium, your special event, Sapori Cafe and Catering at Sapori Rochester. Remember, Sapori, it's Italian for flavor.
Flavore.
That's not Italian. Here we go. Three Heads Brewing. One of our favorites. Big things happen at the brewery. Lots of music shows going on. You should remember, down there on Atlantic Boulevard at the Three Heads Brewing, it is quite the music venue.
It is.
A lot of good stuff.
Really nice.
Just about, I think, three or four nights a week they have music going on, and it's awesome.
And wintertime's always the best. They always release a whole lot of new stuff.
And I was just there. I had the Sprucifer, their new IPA.
Oh, I've not had that. I never even heard of that one.
It's a new one. Sprucifer.
I like the Grolsch. That's new. And I like the Dark Lager. It's really good, too.
Great. Sprucifer is on tap now at Three Heads Brewing. Go get it. ThreeHeadsBrewing.com. What's that?
So are the other two.
Okay. And by the way, I drank that Hippie Holiday stuff over the last week, the gingerbread wheat. Ain't bad at all.
Is it overly, it's not overly sweet or anything?
No, it's actually good.
You and I have pretty similar tastes in beer, so I'll try it.
All right. Handcrafted in upstate New York, Applewood Smoke Whiskey, brought to you by the good folks at Iron Smoke Whiskey, available in two varieties, the Applewood Smoked or Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey. Be a hero this holiday season. Don't bring a pie, bring a bottle of Rattlesnake Rosie's. IronSmokeWhiskey.com. You can check out their new tasting room on Parse Avenue in Fairport, New York.
And a bottle of booze, really good gift.
It is a very, very good gift, especially if you're buying for Brian. So back to me, if you don't mind, Adam. And I got to say, Adam Stringer, you're a blast from the past, man. It's been a long time since we've seen you. You could show yourself. There you are. Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Stringer, he's holding up the fort back there for us today, and he's slightly terrified.
Yeah, that's why...
Because he's worked with Vinny before, so he's slightly terrified.
He's in the parking lot.
So here's the thing. I have a bike chain, and you better not screw it all up.
Yeah.
So let's take a break and check out the shows we have coming up at Comedy at the Carlson, and we'll be right back with Josh Wolf. Hey, everybody. We got some big shows coming up at Comedy at the Carlson this winter. If you didn't know, next week we have Josh Wolf, December 13th through the 15th. Rob Little will be here December 20th through the 22nd. April Macy returns December 28th through the 29th. New Year's Eve with Ross Bennett, December 31st, 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. shows. Chris Franjola, January 10th through the 12th. Preacher Lawson, January 17th through the 19th. Vicky A. Barbalak from America's Got Talent will be here January 24th through the 26th. And Bob Saget, February 21st through the 23rd. And we're going to come on home with Samuel J. Comroe, April 18th through the 20th. That's right, big shows. Like I said, I wasn't lying to you. If you'd like to get tickets, call 5854-COMEDY or call carlsoncomedy.com. Hope to see you at a show. Hey, everybody, we are back. We are live. It is the Comedy at the Carlson cast. Don't forget the text line is open, 585-484-0265. Joining us in studio is our headliner this weekend, Josh Wolf.
Hi. Woo! How are you?
I'm good, man.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
Great energy. I love it today.
Yeah. I love it. Hi. How are you? What's going on? Hi.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, we're all good. No, I've been up longer than it's only. What time did you say?
It is 9:30 a.m. right now.
And so I think I've been up for 3.5 hours. That's for me, for it to only be 9:30. It's something special.
Well, you came in here and you said to Mario, you're like, is it noon yet?
Yeah.
You said that a few minutes ago.
It feels like noon. It really does feel closer to noon than it does to 10.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm ready for lunch, so I'm with you.
You're always ready for lunch.
I'm always ready for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. I'm a breakfast
that
dude.
That too!
I will eat breakfast. I would eat, if I was picking one type of food to eat, I would do breakfast food all
day.
Oh,
absolutely.
More than anything else.
If I could only eat at one restaurant, Waffle House.
If you could only choose one country's food, like you could eat Mexican, ooh, Italian, Chinese.
So easy.
Really?
Yeah.
For me, it's easy too.
Yeah, it's easy. It's the easiest answer in the world.
What's yours?
Simple. American, and here's why. Because we have bastardized every other country's food and have our own take on it.
But
so that means literally everything is open to me.
Yeah, but then you're getting the shitty version of everybody else's food.
But I, you know what? Listen, I'll tell you what.
You're going to get the worst Chinese food of all time.
General Chow's is better.
Disagree.
Every now and again than having to eat lasagna every goddamn day.
I go Mexican. Because for me, Mexican, you get all the meats. You get all the meats.
And Mexicans, they kill some breakfast, too.
Yeah. They got some killer huevos rancheros.
Yeah.
And the scrambled huevos rancheros are so good. But for me, Mexican. The only place the Mexican food falls a little short is on the desserts. I don't mind a churro, but that flan is like the
fried ice cream? You got fried ice cream.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's Mexican, per se. That seems... Maybe they serve it.
They serve it at Chi Chi's.
Okay.
It's Mexican,
oh, well,
if
they serve it at Chi Chi's.
Where's there a Chi Chi's?
I thought Chi Chi's was a strip club.
It is.
I actually saw an open Chi Chi's when I was in Tennessee the other day. I saw an open Chi Chi's.
I thought you were just back in your 90s stick today with that shirt on. Just back to 90s when Chi Chi's was around.
Yeah, I was listening to the new Ice Cube album on the way in. So, I guess
is there a new Ice Cube album?
Yeah, it's freaking awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
What is he rapping about?
How he wants everyone to arrest the president. Mm. And wants to beat up alt-right people.
And he has a possible plot outline for Jingle All the Way 3 in there, too.
Yeah.
Are we there yet? I think we're there yet. Yeah, I had it for you. Jingle All the Way. I believe that's Schwarzenegger. You rushed to your joke. That's all right.
That's my problem. Yeah. I'm an eager beaver, man.
Before the punchline was ready. But I think that dude has made such an amazing career.
And
he does everything. He does everything. And he does it the right way. He owns his shit.
Yep.
Right? And that's where you're going to make the money. Is you
that's what he said with this album. He goes, I'm giving people what they want. I'm just Ice Cube. I'm not going to do anything different.
No. I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to go listen to it.
It's great.
Apple Music.
Does he have a song? You know what always makes me laugh?
Arrest the President is the big song.
Which one?
Arrest the President.
I love when hip hop artists are like, I'm back, motherfucker. I'm like, dude, I know. This is track 3. I know you're back, man. I downloaded the album. I know.
You've been back for 12 minutes.
I saw. Yeah, why are you back on every track? And by the way, you're not really back. You put out an album 2 years ago. Like, that's how it usually works. You didn't come, like, no, you didn't disappear, man. You've been in Brooklyn this whole time. You're back.
You
from where, man?
Fallon.
Yeah, where the fuck were you back from? You just put out a cologne. What do you mean you're back?
He's back from CVS.
Yeah, it never made sense to me that I'm back, but it works.
Yeah.
I wish I'm going to start doing that as a comic. Every new joke I start on stage, I'm going to be like, I'm back. Man, you never left the stage. I'm back, motherfucker.
And that's why I never wear a bathing suit.
Yeah,
By the way, I'm back.
I'm back. Yeah, I'm going
to. You ever notice when you go to a restaurant?
I'm back. I'm going to do that tonight. Wow, I went out of focus. I moved and I went out of focus.
Oh, yeah, that camera, I moved it a little. That's my fault.
That's okay. I was scared to look up to see what it looked like this morning, but not as bad as I was really. Let me think. I'll push it back a little bit.
You know what?
You know, sometimes when you go like this.
If I do that, I have no head.
When we have good-looking guests on, I like to make sure it gets blurred out. Cause
yeah, so that's why I'm coming
less
in clear.
It's jarring for the crowd for when it goes back to my face. It just makes it a little
now,
easier.
Now, what do we got? You did not enjoy his shirt choice today.
Well, we tease him around here. Part of our, I guess you'd call it shtick, is that Brian is an older gentleman.
Yeah.
Who dresses like a much older gentleman.
And you might want to keep your mouth shut, because I think we're the same age.
But he dresses like a much older gentleman.
Yeah, you clearly got that with your structure credit card, right?
No, this is...
I mean...
This is laundry day.
That
was good,
the structure credit card? Yeah. Now, listen, you may not know what this is.
I thought there was a party of five reunion earlier.
By the way, you know, my cousin was on that show. Scott.
Scott Wolf, that's right.
Scott and I.
Is he still rolling that sweet party of five money?
He was good with his money, but he's done like, I don't know, he does a TV show every year.
You ever see him wear that shirt?
Have I ever seen Scott wear that shirt? No.
Okay.
No, 100% no. Uh-huh. I don't think I've ever seen anyone outside of the store wearing that shirt.
Uh-huh.
You know, like how they used to have like the employees wear the shit they wanted to sell?
Oh, yeah.
They like, make sure you wear that shirt. I don't want to wear the fucking blue stripe. Wear the blue stripe. And that's what he's...
I have no problems with my shirt. I don't care. You can make fun of all you want.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, the whole... I think the ensemble. I honestly, for me, it wasn't the shirt. It the shoes give you away.
The boots.
Yeah, the boots
they're
give
really
you.
Really good boots.
Yep. That's all you know. Are they comfy? Because that's the next thing you're going to say to
they're
me.
They're very.
And as soon as you say there's a good boots and they keep the water out and they're comfortable.
And I've had them for 7 years.
Yeah, I bought them. Yeah, exactly. They were on sale. Yeah, you are giving away your age for sure. Yeah,
actually, I used to be sponsored by them. I got them for free.
You used to be sponsored by what company?
I don't know if I should say it. I guess we're not on TV. I can say
depends.
It.
Depends.
Keen.
Yeah, Keen?
Yeah.
And where they were like, hey, listen, we need somebody over 50 to wear these shoes for us. Who still is in kind of a hip
They're
career.
Called, this yeah, is our yeah. new our new line called Keens Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keens Comfy for the older gentlemen.
Keens Gel Support. Yeah.
Keens Extra Wear. All
right. All right, Brian, truce.
Yeah.
We are roughly the same age.
Yeah,
though,
we
right?
probably are.
Maybe mid-40s?
Yeah.
I know our kids are about the same age. I saw that.
Yeah. Do you have some older kids?
Yeah, 16 and 19.
Yeah, man. So are you have boys or girls?
One of each. 16-year-old girl, 19-year-old boy.
Your 19-year-old son smells real bad.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I know what else. I know he laughs like this. Oh, ho, 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 ho.
It's more of a ho, ho, but yeah, you're
yeah,
close.
It's a ho, 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 ho.
Yeah, yeah, you're pretty
why
close.
Is your, when you're like 15 to 19, why is your laugh deeper than it ever will be for the rest of your life? Ho, 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 ho.
I don't know.
It's the weirdest fucking thing
think,
in the entire
I think he
world.
Practices it. Like he wants it to sound cool.
He wants it to look cool.
On an average, how often do you think he's masturbating every day? Does he live at home?
Yeah, he's going to college down the street. So
yes.
I'd guess. I mean, I don't know. I'm hoping only one.
Does he wash his own socks yet?
Yeah, he does all of his own laundry.
Yeah, good. Yeah, when you get a certain age, you're like, I'll wash the socks. I'll wash the socks. Yeah. How long are you know what I mean? You don't want to wash a teenage boy's socks. How long is he taking showers?
Oh, it takes a while.
But he comes out dry as a bone. You're like, you weren't in the shower the whole time?
20 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, and how bad does his room smell?
It varies.
Does it smell like a pool in a hotel?
It smells like a combination of onions, feet, and semen, like all together. And you walk in, you're like, hey, man. And the air quality in that room is bad. Your eyes sting a little bit. And you're like, dude, man, why is your room 20 degrees hotter than the rest of the house? Like, what the fuck is happening in here right now? Yeah, that's
teenage sons sound great.
They're the worst. They're so gross. My son, at one point, he had his hands in his pants. Just in his pants. Uh-huh. And I was eating chips and he went to grab the chips. And I go, no, dude. He goes, what's up, man? We have the same germs. I go, yeah, but different dick germs. We got different dick germs for sure. Like, I don't need your dick germs in my chips. You know
I know
what
where
I mean?
My dick's been.
Yeah, you can sneeze in my chips, but you're not gonna put your dick germs in there. Like I was a teenage boy. I know you're not You know what I mean? I know you're not washing it up as good as you should.
You know what's great about him though is I no longer have to perform menial tasks.
No.
That's awesome because he's living there rent free. He's going to college. I'm like, dude.
And truthfully, he probably does a better job.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Does he?
Yeah. He's 6'5", too. So, I mean, he's like
6'5".
Stronger than me. So,
you got to get him. Now, tell me something. I'm looking at all these, and I'm going to call them action figures. You okay with that? Okay.
Sure.
So, some people are not happy when I say action figures.
He prefers dolls.
No, I don't kill yourself. Action figures.
So, tell me about, are you... When you're obviously you're a superhero guy.
Sure.
Are you a DC or a Marvel guy?
You know what? If you had asked me 10 years ago, I would have said DC.
Really?
Yeah, I love DC. Well, I always
the comic books you love?
Yeah, I always love Superman books, and I always love Batman, big time Batman, and a Green Lantern. I got into the Geoff Johns run, like in the 2000s, and I was really into Green Lantern for a long time. And then like Marvel, I've always been a big X-Men guy, the X-Men, so. I don't know. They just kind of won me back over time.
You know, somebody said to me once that they loved the DC comics more, but the Marvel movies
all day
have changed it. You know, and I do a podcast with Freddie Prinze Jr., and he's a huge comic book guy. And he's like, look, if DC wanted to really put their foot down, their movies should be about their villains because their villains are so different than Marvel's villains.
They are.
Yeah. And they have such a dark, like they could really make some different movies, but around the DC villains.
Sure. And you know what was always interesting? People don't realize like the DC villains when they show like the campy Batman stuff and things like that, very cartoonish, and they always appear very cartoonish. But then when they're as evil as they really are, the way they write them in the books, it's extra creepy because they're so cartoonish.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we got this character, Toy Man. And like you think Batman, oh, Toy Man's gonna throw rubber ducks at him. It's like, no, he's gonna lure kids into the sewer.
Yeah, yeah.
Murder them. And Batman's yeah. gotta stop him. Holy shit, I read that book.
But that but that is like that would separate them if they did their movies about, because we like going to see dark movies now.
Oh, yeah.
We like our heroes to have a real gray area.
You know, if
we're
I were
in the darkest timeline.
Yeah.
Next time you talk to Freddie, would you give him this thought for me?
Sure.
I think that if they were to just stop trying to reinvent the angle on every character every time they make a movie, they'd be much better off. Because every time...
Give me an example. Like, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, the Lex Luthor character that they just did in all the new movies with Jesse Eisenberg playing him. Lex Luthor in the comic books, it's a completely different character. It's just a different take on it. You know what? Just go with what the fans love.
Yeah.
And that's what Marvel did. And that's why Marvel's successful.
And that's what
DC constantly changes the core
that's
of stuff
I hadn't,
for no reason.
I didn't know that.
And that's why DC's animated movies crush the Marvel animated stuff.
This
the
DC Spider-Man one.
Is awesome. This one looks great.
Looks great.
But normally the DC animation.
Why? Because they stick true to the characters.
They stick true to the characters, and it's just they still make it dark. I mean, Aquaman chops his arm off in one of them. But I mean, it's
we could have a whole conversation. Like my favorite comic book ever was that Brian as what's his name? Azrael Luthor book. If you ever read it, it's amazing.
I haven't read it.
It's dope. Like it's just the psyche of Lex Luthor, and it's like this crazy, just exploring his mentality, and it blows my mind. Like how twisted and weird it is.
I wonder why they've never made that movie.
Because
would you see that movie? Is that interesting?
Oh yeah, yeah. I love like that's why they're doing it now though. They are doing it. This the Joker movie, the Scorsese movie.
You're right.
The Joker is the one that's the main one that everybody thinks of. So just give it to people. They loved it with Heath Ledger. Just do it. Do this new weird take on it. Go ahead.
So difficult in my mind. If there's one role that you're like, how am I going to take this? Because between Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson,
mm-hmm.
what are you going to do? Do you know what I mean? Like, it seems like a really
I go back to Cesar Romero.
But
hello, everybody.
It seems like a lose-lose. That's hilarious.
Just play it really big.
Yeah.
I'm the Joker. Hello.
It's actually a really good idea because the dark... Like, oh my God, this dude is really dark. I don't know you're going to out Heath Ledger. You're never going to out Heath Ledger.
Jared Leto tried. He was mailing rats to people on the set of that movie.
And it wasn't, but it just didn't land.
No fooling.
Although I will tell you something.
It wasn't the worst.
I did not hate Suicide Squad as much as other people did. It was a get your popcorn movie.
Fell apart in the third act.
Fine. Okay.
But let's say this. One of the scenes I loved in it, really truly loved, was the Batman capturing Deadshot in front of his daughter was great.
Yeah.
That was right out of a comic book. That was amazing. And the scene with Joker and that guy where he was doing like the smile thing and the guy was legitimately terrified and creeped out by him. That was pretty cool. But everything else with Joker was pretty like, meh.
I'll tell you, you know, this is my theory on movies in general. You want me at the theater because my theory is you put all of this together and figured out how to make the sound work and the actors, and there's a score, and you got all those people, and you did it in 3 months, and you edited it. I'll watch that. Like, that's my – and I turn off my brain because also I don't want to be disappointed. Some people go into movies like, I'm gonna write the most scathing Yelp.
I've never
I want to be the critic. Yeah. I want – hey, yo, man, okay, you want to ruin 2 hours of your life that you just spent for – you spent money on?
Mm-hmm.
My theory is I'm going in like, hey, I have zero expectations. I have popcorn. Great. I'm a little high. Great. I'm not talking to annoying people. Great. I'm going to watch some. Usually I go to movies with the actors or actresses that I like. So I'm going to watch some people that I like. Great. I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
So I don't go in with a arms crossed, prove to me that this is a good movie, because you're setting yourself up to have a bad time. Yeah. Why on earth would you want to do that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't understand it. Well, what am I going to be offended by?
Do you want to know? I can tell you why.
Yeah.
Down at the very heart of it.
What is it?
Hubris.
You think so?
Yeah. It's ego. Because people like, for the people who, let's be realistic, the people who are really into this are we're talking about the nerds here.
Yeah.
That go in with this mentality. Let's be clear. Nerds, we're talking about you. They go into the Star Wars movies. They go into the Marvel movies. DC movies with high hopes and expectations. No matter what you give them, a giant chunk of the fan base is going to be pissed off. No matter what you do.
It's true.
They're going to be pissed off, and they're going to go in there. But the fact is, when they have these properties that mean so much to people, they feel intense about it. And if it didn't meet their satisfaction, they have a serious ego about it. I'm a Star Wars fan, and you have disappointed me, sir. It's hubris. Stop it.
You know, something that...
Grow up. Stop it.
That, but what if I'm right?
But something Freddie pointed out to me, which was great about the Star Wars fans. He's like, first of all, it always makes me laugh when Star Wars fans are like...
He's a big part of the Star Wars universe now.
But when Star Wars fans are like, a Jedi wouldn't do that. I'm like, hey... It's a how the fuck it's a made up world.
Yeah.
How do you the people who invented the Jedis are telling you this is what the Jedis do. So that's obviously what the fuck they do. And not only that, it always makes me laugh when like that person wouldn't act that way. That's a made up person. It's a made up in a made up world. How what the fuck are you talking about? But here's another thing that is really important that Freddie pointed out to me, which is hey, they're not for you anymore.
Yeah.
Like, so a lot of the times the people who have problems are the grown-ups.
Yeah.
It's not for you anymore.
It isn't,
it's for the next generation.
Especially what he was in.
It's for the next generation. So when people get mad at movies like The Last Jedi and all that shit, it's not for you as the grown-up. It's for the next generation of Star Wars fans.
Yeah, just shut up and be happy that the thing that you love is still going on.
It made me laugh. The Solo, you know, the Solo movie, and people were like, he doesn't look enough like him. Hey, man, that's not how it works.
Yeah, we can't
you know what
people
I mean? It's not, they're doing their best.
Do you know, man, how many goddamn James Bonds we've had? Relax.
Oh, yeah.
Relax,
and,
guys.
And Solo was fine.
But again, get your popcorn.
Yeah.
Realize what the story is. The story is explosions. It's fun. I think, what is it? There's seven stories just told different ways every time.
Eight.
Okay. So
nine, 10, technically, if you count Rogue One and Solo.
No. I mean, in general, archetype of story.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something about Rogue One, by the way? Okay. So I don't like to watch trailers of movies that I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Because now. Movies have this bad habit of showing you the whole movie
in the trailer.
Yeah.
So I won't watch.
Yeah.
So I didn't.
Or they ruin it in the poster too.
Exactly. So I don't want to. I don't watch any of the Rogue One, and so I go to the theater and I'm really high and I go with my brother, and I'm like, "What is going on in this movie?" First thing I thought was, "This woman, her accent's gone from the other movie." and then the next thing I turned to my brother, I go, she has not aged well. Like, she looks completely different in like 3 years. And he was like, what are you talking about? I go, why is her accent different? And then they CGI the old guy from the original Star Wars.
Yeah.
So I turned to my brother. I'm like, they couldn't just hire an old guy actor, and they named it the Death Star again? I'm like, this is the laziest writing I've ever seen. Not until Princess Leia showed up as a hologram. I was like, oh, this is like 3.5? Like, I thought I was confused the whole movie. I kept turning to my brother. This is the worst fucking movie I've ever seen. Why is she different? And he was like, will you shut up? And not until I realized that it was in between 3 and 4. I thought it was 8. Because you know what comes after 7? 8! Not 3.72. 8! Like, did you really need to know how they got the map to the Death Star? That was a money grab to me. I was like,
I thought that was a great movie, though.
But fine! I didn't really understand it because I thought I was in a different movie, to be honest with you.
Why watch
try
it again?
now that you're in our reality,
I think I'm going to go back and watch it again so I can kind of figure out.
Or you could just live your life and be happy. Those are things you could do, too. You have lots of options here.
That's probably what I will do.
There's not just two roads to take.
It's probably what I will do. That's probably what I'll do.
Hey, can we talk about comedy for a while?
I love talking about comedy.
Because I could talk about Star Wars and Marvel comic movies all day, but that's not why the audience is here. Yes. They're here to learn about you.
Okay.
And to get to know you. Because you're going to be here at the Comedy at the Carlson for four more shows this weekend. If you'd like to get tickets, you can call right now 5854-COMEDY, or you can visit carlsoncomedy.com. But Josh... You're a guy in your mid-40s.
Yep.
I feel like your career is really doing pretty well right now.
Yep.
You're moving right up the chain, but how long have you been doing stand-up now?
Well, you know, that's a kind of a trick question because the first time I got on stage, I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
I was in high school. I saw it on TV, and I was like, I want to try that. And so my parents had to drive me. And you know what's funny is my dad told me the story the other day when I was talking about my stand-up and how far it's come and where I'm at. And he was like, you know, I knew you were gonna make it. And I was like, how? And he said, you know, the very first night I drove you to do stand-up, we were standing in the back of the Iron Horse in Northampton, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And I was nervous. I was 15. And my dad said, you don't have to do this, you know. And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, why? I said, I just really feel like this is what I have to do. And he said, as soon as I said that, he said, I kind of got calm. And the guy called my name and I walked on stage. And interesting, a lot of things happened to me that night. First of all, I was a young man growing up in Western Mass. So sure. Let me just tell you what I was wearing. I was wearing some chunky.
Hold on. What year are we talking? Ooh, give me a year before you do this.
Late 80s.
Okay.
Chunky white high tops.
Love it.
With some acid wash jeans tucked in.
Oh, yeah.
Tucked in.
Question.
Yep.
Holes or no holes?
No holes at the time.
Classic. Did you peg them? Was it that one year that was cool?
I did not peg them. I tucked them in.
You've done that before.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had a mullet.
Uh-huh.
Full-on mullet. I was wearing a hat. I was wearing a thick silver chain. And, if I'm not mistaken,
a blue striped shirt.
A white mesh shirt.
White mesh shirt.
Yeah, tight, tiny holes. Like a football jersey, but white, plain.
Sleeves or no sleeves?
Sleeves! Good question! Valid question.
I'm trying to put this together in my mind.
And I went on stage.
Did you have a starter jacket that you wore there?
I did not have a I was wearing my high school football jacket. Oh.
And you were 15 in Massachusetts, so you already had like three beers in.
It's funny. I drove with my parents, so I hadn't been drinking. Oh, okay. But we didn't stop by the Packy.
Yeah.
And get and I did. I remember talking to the guy, and I said, "What should I talk about?" This was when I signed up. He said, "Talk about what you know. It's the easiest thing to do for your first time." And all I knew were my parents. And what I knew about my parents is that they both farted a lot, and it was terrible. Uh-huh. And that was my entire act.
Sure.
It was embarrassing for them. But so the first time I got on stage, I was 15. I did it one other time in high school. The next time I was on stage, I was in college. I won a comedy competition. And the fourth time I was ever...
Parents farting jokes?
Nope. No. And the fourth time I was ever on stage.
It's the cat now. He's evolved.
Yeah, exactly. I'm way past that. The fourth time I was ever on stage, I opened for Sam Kinison.
Wow.
It was his opener was a guy named Carl LeBeau.
Oh, mm-hmm. I met Carl.
Yeah, Carl's dad had passed. I believe that was why he didn't make the trip to San Antonio. They called ahead and they said, "Who won this comedy competition?" And your boy. And so I was like, fourth time on stage, opening for Kinison. This comedy shit is easy. And then I got ripped apart. Kinison's crowd was not, they did not want any piece of me.
Now, at this point, you're what, 19, 20 maybe?
20, maybe.
Okay. So, wow. Kinison's crowd, fourth time on stage.
They killed me by 5 minutes in. And now, look, fourth time on stage, how much material do I have? Three minutes?
Yeah.
And I did my 3 minutes up front. And then I had 22 more minutes.
Holy shit. That's
and a long so time. When I showed up.
My heart is hurting now hearing this.
When I showed up, I knew how much material I had. I thought maybe I'd do 10 minutes. And the guy was like, "So you got 25? And I was like, "Yeah." Nope. And so, first of all, I had a ponytail with bangs at the time, which was not a great look for Kinison's crowd. You don't want to go on stage with ponytail and bangs. That's not. I had hair.
Bangs?
Well, not like full on like bangs, but
some aqua velvet.
Yeah,
shit.
Too much. Too much. So like, it wasn't a good look. So right when I walked on stage, they were on me, and I looked like I was 15. I was wearing a black leather motorcycle jacket, but underneath it was a blue button down shirt tucked into my jeans. It was not a good look for me, man. And they tore into me. But this is how bad it was. They went hard for about 5 to 8 minutes. And then they just got tired and they just started talking to each other. They ignored me. They pretended like I wasn't even on the stage. And I just kept doing my act. I just kept doing it.
The same act over and over again?
Yes, I repeated. So when people came in later at about the 15-minute mark, because, you know, you want to miss the opener, I said to them, hey, you missed my jokes up front. Let me tell you these ones. You missed it. Oh, yeah, man. I repeated my act. I repeated one joke three times.
For those that have just arrived.
Yeah. It was it's the Bismarcky style of comedy. Play just a friend as many times as you can. You know what I mean? So I repeated some jokes. And then in between shows, his manager, Bill Kinnison, said to me, hey, how much time you got? Can you stretch it a little bit? And I was like, I felt like saying, you didn't see the first show? Stretch it. What the fuck? And so my girlfriend was at the time. We just wanted a poster signed by Kinnison. And in between shows, I walked off stage, and she looks at me. She was like, well, he's not signing that poster now. Yeah, it was a fucking rough one. He signed it, but he was not in good shape. You couldn't read what he wrote, and you couldn't read his.
Really? So
not even close.
And that's kind of cool, though.
It was amazing. It was really amazing. He died not long after it. But it's one of the reasons I knew I wanted to be a stand-up. Because that night did not make me want to stop. It made me want to do it again. And I got brutalized for Bolto shows.
So, okay.
Brutalized.
But isn't that the way every comedian thinks, though? I can fix this. Even if I have to go on, and even if it's going to be 2 weeks from now. I can fix this. If I can get back on stage, I can fix this.
Yeah, I don't know if fix is the right word. That's interesting. You know, for me, it was just I just felt so comfortable. I just knew I loved it. And I just knew that I wanted to beat them. I did not want them to beat me.
So...
You know what I mean? Like
we had Bobby Slayton in here last week.
Yeah.
And one of the things we talked about with him is like where that Pitbull character came from. You know how aggressive he is on stage. And he used to open up for bands in San Francisco.
You would need to. Open up for music, yeah.
Exactly. And he got very aggressive. And he had this mentality of kill or be killed with the audience. And it's kind of funny where, you know, you come up fourth time on stage, all of a sudden you're just... victimized in front of everybody.
Yeah.
It created that in you.
Yeah, you know what? I was just like, this is not how I'm going out.
Yeah.
Fuck them. They're not chasing me out of here on this. And it also shaped when I bring people on the road and when they open for me. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, the person who booked me, I brought a feature with me, but the guy was just didn't book an MC. Right. So the first show, the feature went on and just ate shit because there was nothing. So I MC'd and closed the rest of the shows.
That's pretty nice of
you. I went on stage and did 3 to 5 minutes up front just to, because I don't need this dude.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Yeah.
It's so easy for me to go on stage for 3 minutes, say hello to everybody, get them loose, let some drinks drop. Do you know what I mean? So people aren't ordering, they're paying attention to the stage. Tell a couple jokes, and plus they're there to see me, so they're automatically I'm giving the dude who I'm introducing my okay.
Yeah.
And it's a whole different thing. But for me, like, I learned a lot from being a feature or being an MC, like the things that I would never do. Never.
Yeah.
But like it's so important. For me, also, I know a lot of comics don't like to bring people who are funny. I like funny.
Let's talk about that.
I like funny in front of me.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
They do, for real. They legitimately do.
Yes.
They legitimately do. And I'm saying that because it's not something people like to think about. And we have a lot of young comics who are trying to work and learning to work that watch this show because we like to talk about what it's like coming up and exactly this topic. What do you say to them? Like, well, I mean,
it happened to me. There were comics in Seattle that just stopped letting me feature. And there was a woman, I was in Cleveland not too long ago, a woman named Jackie Fabulous. Have you heard of Jackie? She is a tornado. And after her first set, I turned to her and I said, how many people let you feature? She said, not many. Yeah. And my theory is, if you open for me and I can't follow you, I shouldn't be headlining.
Yeah, exactly. That's why Vinny never lets me.
I shouldn't be
feature for him.
Yeah, he's
actually Brian. It's why you only feature Foreman. Speaking of which, I got a date I got to talk to you about. Yeah. And I'm not even kidding. I got a date for you. Opening, bitch.
But yeah. Wear that shirt, bitch.
I'm going to wear this shirt.
Good.
For me, I want somebody who's making the show good. So if somebody leaves my show, I want them to go, that was a good fucking show. Because they may not remember the feature, but they're going to remember it was a good show. And whose show was that? That was my show.
It's the Josh Wolf show.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you guys a question, straight honest. If I had to pee so badly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that possible for me to
get
up?
Listen, man, there's a bathroom right across the hallway. Be my guest.
Is it okay if I get
up?
Yeah,
go pee.
And then we'll get back into.
Yeah. So, listen, we're going to take a second. Okay, hold on. And we are going to check out our text line.
The door right.
Yeah, down there to the right.
Slightly to the left.
Right across the hallway.
There you go.
Yep. So
if we're quiet, maybe we can hear him.
That might be a good idea. So I have to say, it's nice to hear people confirm that.
Yeah, because we notice it.
I notice it.
Yeah, you can tell when a big name comes in and he's got somebody with him you never heard of, and then you're watching, you go, oh, I know why he brought that dude.
But then it's the opposite sometimes.
Yeah.
Then sometimes they bring somebody who's incredibly great.
Yeah.
And you go, wow, that's a brave choice. Because here's the thing, folks. Comedy, the way it used to be booked, the middle act was kind of just filler. Filler. The host and the headliner were traditionally the funniest people booked on a show.
Yeah.
The host is, you know, meant to carry the thing and make sure everything goes. The feature act is someone who's working their way towards headlining and mm-hmm. working on material. So I think that leaving the funny people at home when you're on the road is in a way detrimental to society. I guess maybe a better way to put yourself over. But I don't know if it helps comedy shows or hurts comedy shows. And listen, if you're featuring and you're traveling with somebody, great. I'm not trying to like shit on you in any way saying you're not funny. But, you know, be realistic about yourself is my opinion. And
now, since we're talking about features.
Hi, Josh Wolf. Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you.
Since this is something I've wanted to bring up on the show for a long time, since we're talking about features, when you used to feature, what was your attitude when you were featuring? Were you there
to destroy the person who was following me?
Me too.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, me too. Bury that motherfucker.
Not in a way that was disrespectful.
No.
I'm not getting on stage and saying cunt and making it hard for him to follow me because I'm making the audience uncomfortable.
Some comedians think they're there to support the which you are in a way.
That's what some people would tell you.
But I support them. I always just do the best I can.
Well, I guess it's what's your goal? Is your goal to be a feature or is your goal to be the man?
Exactly.
Well, if you're going to be the man, then you've got to beat the man.
Woo! Yep.
That's it. Right. Exactly right. Yeah. So, and that's the deal. The deal is like you can play it nice, and there's nothing wrong with trying to win. There's nothing wrong with trying to win.
It's show business.
Win. And business is a bigger word than show, everybody. Yep. So you got to do the business part of it. And if you want to be the dude who supports the dude, well, then get your fucking knee pads ready. Because that's where you're going to be for the rest of your life.
Yep.
But if you want to be the man, you got to get out and take some fucking swings. Yep. And if somebody is too much of a bitch or too insecure, that's their problem. That is not your problem. But as soon as you start changing your art to fit, then you're never moving forward.
My thought is always when that mic is in my hand, it's my stage. It's going to be somebody else's here in a minute.
100%.
But for the next half hour, it's mine.
Don't be disrespectful. Yeah. That's the big thing. Like when I tell people, thank you, yeah.
Don't is that Ippolito?
Yeah.
Don't be disrespectful. Don't do your thing. And don't make it so like you're making my crowd uneasy.
Sure.
But get up and take your swing. And if I can't follow you, then I shouldn't have this job. Now, there are some things. You know, when I was touring with my hour, which is my special that's out right now, which was all family stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I asked people, just don't have people do family stuff in front of me. Not because I thought their material was better than mine. I knew it wasn't.
Sure.
But the tonnage.
Yeah,
the tonnage of the material on the same topic is that's the only thing. It was a full hour. It was called Father of the Year, and it is called Father of the Year. And I always wanted to do a special where I told one story And so it's basically a one story. So I couldn't I couldn't get out of it for this pit of the tour. And I hated telling people what to do and what not to do. But for that part, that was the only time I've ever done
that. I'll do that if I go up and like say, you know, it's a five, like a, like we do here, like five shows. And I go up Thursday night, I feature and I watch the headliner. And I realize, oh, he tells a couple of jokes that were kind of similar to mine. I'll cut them out.
Yeah.
You know, but
that's the thing.
Other than that, you know, I'm still going to do my stuff.
It's basically subject matter. If we're killing the same subject matter, it's just to me tonnage. By the time I get up on stage, they've heard the premise so much that it's just going to be tough to crack it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And 100%. That's it. But for me, I love watching. You know, I opened for Larry the Cable Guy for years.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that. I was going to ask you about it, but let's start now.
He was one of the most generous. Not just with his time, not just with his money, which he was super generous, but with his time and his knowledge. And, you know, the first time I opened for him, I asked him, I go, what are the rules? He goes, okay, don't say fuck. Don't do more than 25 minutes. Do between 20 and 25. And he said, the only other rule I have is I don't see you doing new material every other week, I'm going to find somebody else. And I said, why? And he said, because it doesn't matter if you have the best show of your life or the worst show of your life. When I'm done, nobody's going to remember you were on stage. He goes, I don't mean that in a bad way. They're not here for you. Yeah. They're my fans.
No. You're going to be that guy.
You're going to be that guy. He said, so use the stage to grow. If you're not trying new material in front of these people, why are you out here? Mm-hmm. And he said, this is the easiest gig for you. Zero pressure, because nobody gives a shit. And not in a bad way. They just didn't.
Yeah.
Nobody gives it. I did a show one night in front of him where I crushed. And I'm like, oh, boy, this is going to be fun after the show. And after the show, after every show, because he also said to me one show, he saw me back on the bus after he got off that stage. And he goes, what are you doing back here? I go, what do you mean I'm done? He goes, you're not done. You should be up at that merch table shaking every hand. That's why they'll remember you. They won't remember you from on stage. They're going to remember you because you waited up there and you said hello and thank you to all of them. Mm-hmm. He said, you have not earned the right to be back here on this bus after your show. And he was 100% right. Mm-hmm. So I go up to the merch table, and I just crushed. This was after a show. And after, you know, I always say to everybody, I'm going to be up at the merch table after the show. Everybody come up and say hello. I'd love to say thank you for coming out to the show. And, you know, my name is Joshua. I'm wearing the same clothes. I get off stage. I go straight to the merch table. And this dude comes up. And he walks right up to me after Larry the Cable Guy's show. And he goes, hey. And I go, hey. He goes, hey, listen, man. The opener said he'd be up here. When's he getting up here? And I was like, he's right. None of them remember who the fuck I am.
Fucking goldfish.
They don't, none of them remember because they just saw an hour and a half of the person they came here to see. And the guy remembered he liked me, but he didn't really remember. Maybe this is the dude, maybe not. There's a lot of guys with trucker hats here tonight. So you know what I mean?
Some random jackass. It
was amazing.
Walked away.
Can I tell you my favorite thing?
Oh, he's right here.
I have a situation ongoing at this club right now.
Yeah.
With Ippolito, where if I do a show here and I do very, very well, people walk up to him and say, you were really great. All the time.
That's so funny.
I love it because he runs the place.
Yeah. That is so funny. That's like...
In fairness, he usually does get more laughs than you.
That's true.
Well, I just noticed the green.
Yeah.
And the brick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back to that shot of him?
Green screen technology.
Can you go back? What are the... Yeah. Oh, so you have Patrice back there?
I got Joan Rivers.
Uh-huh.
George.
Yep.
And then some of our sponsors, our great sponsors.
And so why don't you just have a wall that you hang things up on?
Well, because when we originally built this studio, we had an idea of doing a couple other different projects.
Got it.
Made it more versatile.
Yes, yeah. And now it's just where Patrice lives.
You know, honestly, I've had some thoughts about just getting it done.
Why not, man? It's interesting you have Patrice back there. Is he in your top... Is he in your Rushmore?
I love Patrice.
Pretty great. Yeah. Pretty great. Yeah, I you know, good. For me, my Patrice is up there for me. I don't think there's a difference for me between who I think are the greatest and who influenced me the most.
100%.
Who are my favorite, probably. Yeah. Like, you know, the greatest, the people who basically the godfathers of comedy, that's an easy one with Carlin and Pryor and all those.
Nobody's going to argue with that Mount Rushmore.
No. But for me, Kinison. Kinnison was the first guy I ever remember because Pryor is before my time. No.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, amazing. So Pryor before my time. Mm-hmm. Carlin, when he was really good, mm-hmm. before my time. Yeah. Late Carlin to me was a little too soapboxy and wasn't straight comedy.
He was a little upset.
Yeah, and you know what was fascinating, by the way? So you have people who enjoy comedy on this podcast? Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk comedy, man, all day. Right.
So I was working the door at the Comedy Store, mm-hmm. and George Carlin was working his new hour out. And I was like, I need to be there that weekend. I want to watch this shit. Because I, in my brain, thought I knew who George Carlin was and how he worked. Because when you listen to him, he just seems like this dude who's a free-flowing, conversational, natural, I'm just saying whatever comes to my head, the most rote, meticulous.
That meticulous is exactly the word I was
to the to the breath. You know, he would say, first of all, don't talk to me when I'm on stage. I will not talk back to you. If you talk to me, you will be asked to leave. He wanted to get that special 259 minutes to the second, counting your laughter, your applause. So he always asked, do not clap until the end of the joke. How will you know when it's the end of the joke? I'll bow, which is what he did towards the end. And that's when you knew it was okay to clap. If you clapped.
Now that's some like Pavlovian shit.
But if you clapped during the middle, you threw off 59 minutes that he knew. He was down, you know, when he would, he was so memorized.
Yeah.
But he was so memorized, it seemed conversational. But to the word, an hour monologue basically is what he memorized to the breath. And if he messed up, if he stuttered, he would start that joke over. He would, in the comedy store, middle of a joke, he would stutter, mess it up. He would go, all right, folks. And he would go right back to the beginning and do it again. He wasn't there for your response.
And that's quite an interesting luxury to have.
Yes. Yeah. But you're Carlin.
Yeah.
But you're Carlin. But you know what? When you like, when I know when there are guys practicing their hour, I've seen them mess a joke up and go back and start it again.
Yeah.
Because if they're practicing their hour and they're doing it like upstairs in the belly room of the Comedy Store or wherever, they're just going to go ahead and run it and they might practice. But to watch him, and I was like, oh my God, that is not at all what I thought was going to happen. But I will tell you, for me, late Carlin, which is what I'm most familiar with.
Sure.
Early Carlin, crazy. But for me, I put Patrice. I put Kinnison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are guys like Burr that I'm fascinated by, but Chappelle.
Sure.
Chappelle's
another level.
When I watch him, he's such a captivating speaker. Like he'll go minutes and minutes and minutes and minutes with no laugh.
And you know how they say that actors know how to use like everything around them is that dead space and how to use. Chappelle is a master on stage.
So good. And uses silence better than anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Uses silence. It's really fascinating. So like as a comic, I love going to the Comedy Store because the masters are there right now. And I learn, and I'm very confident with who I am and what I do. And as I would say, as far as storytelling, I don't think I'm the best, but I think I'm as good as whoever's out there. I
wouldn't argue with that.
I don't think comedy is a thing where you are judging who's better because it's all different. But I do it, and
I judge.
Do you know what I mean?
I judge.
I know you do, but that's why you feature.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, it's interesting when you watch Chappelle though. That it's just a different level.
Don't you feel like I can enjoy a comedian more when it's something I know that I cannot do?
Yes.
So my favorites, there's only one that I'm remotely similar to. The other three are stuff that I know comedians that do stuff like Stephen Wright is one of my.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
So I enjoy it because I'm not jealous. I know that like there's no way I could do that.
Right. I'm excited to know who you think you're like.
He thinks he's like Ron Funches.
The only person
is that who?
No, that's who he thinks he is.
No, I'm not like
striking similarity.
I'm not nearly as good as, but stylistically, Marin would be one that's on my Mount Rushmore that I'm stylistically somewhat similar.
And what about your style? Are you a stool guy?
No, I haven't gone that far yet.
Okay. Cranky?
No.
What's that?
Cranky? No, I still like to move around a little bit.
What's your? How would you say you're like Maron?
Just angry, ranty.
Yeah, the bitter
white
dude.
In and out of the, the bitter white, the typical bitter white guy.
Yeah, the bitter white guy. And so, what would you say your general topic of conversation is? What's your general topic of conversation on stage?
Gravity. And how he hates it.
I talk about my life. A lot of relationship.
Got it.
A lot of relationship stuff.
And you have kids?
No, thank Christ.
Yeah, I don't think it's Christ.
I meet guys like you two. And yeah. I'm just like, yeah. Sure, my dog woke me up this morning, but what you can go in a crate later.
Yeah, and you know what else? Your kid can shit outside.
Yeah.
It's a lot less pressure. You know what I mean?
They all technically can.
It's true, but if my son shit outside, my neighbor would call somebody.
Sure.
But like, the neighbor kid is shitting in the yard again. Are you guys storytellers, or are you more?
I love telling a good story, and I've been playing around with it. And that's when I say, when I play around with it, it's not my comfort zone, but it's something that I'm very interested in exploring and trying to.
I think I do it less and less. I used to, but I do it less and less now.
And you're more like, you pick something that bothers you and you hit it.
Yeah, like a minute and a half joke. Like, it's not what you quite call a story, but yeah. I don't do short jokes either. I don't do one-liners very much at all.
See, to me, a minute and a half, I don't even know what that... You'll never see a late-night set from me. You'll never see it. My friend Michael Cox books a Tonight Show, and he's asked me many times, when are you going to send it a tape? And awesome. I finally had to tell him, hey, man, it's the one thing I just don't think... It'll be a good representation of me because I'm going to have to tell one story. And he's like, we don't do that.
You're telling me.
Yeah.
Hold on. We're going to stop here for a second because I just want to make sure we got this straight. First off, I'm going to need Mr. Cox's phone number. Second of all.
You won't be happy with that if I just start giving
No shit. Second of all, because I'm going to need to verify this story.
Yeah.
No, you're telling me that the booker for the Tonight Show, friend of yours, is saying, when are you going to submit?
Yes.
And you just have not submitted because you don't feel that it's going to serve you well.
I don't think it's a good representation of what I do. And if I'm going to be on national television, I'm not going to put out a version of me that's not good.
Nobody watches this
show anyway. I'm not going to put out a version of me that's not me. Because then the people who are watching, what if somebody thinks I'm not funny because I put out a version of me that's not me? I don't see, so he's been very clear too. He's like, look, we don't do one story. You're going to need to like break it up.
Right.
It's just not what I do.
Right.
So it's the one thing that makes me nervous because I'm like, how am I going to do this? And then it won't be the best. It just won't be the best. And there's so many other avenues now. It just is not, it's not to a point where you need to do the Tonight Show to be a comic.
Well, 100%.
Yeah, yeah,
100%.
Yeah.
The business has changed. The Tonight Show is not that gold stamp that it used to be.
No.
So I guess my question is, don't you want the challenge of figuring out the best you to do for something like that, just to do it?
Yes.
Because it may not be the gold stamp, but it's certainly a fucking feather in your hat.
There's no doubt. So recently I've thought more about it. What I'm going to try to do is still make it one story, but I'm going to pepper it with jokes, and we'll see if it's okay, because my wife said the same thing. She said, don't you just want to have it on the resume just to say that you did it?
That's what I'm saying. Listen, if you
but I want to make sure I do it, and I put out the best version of me. That's so important. Like, I don't want
it's like being in business. You want to make sure the billboard looks good.
Because then why did I do it?
There's nothing wrong with that, and I feel like that's a healthy respect for the business, a respect for, you know, your art. I'm fine with that. It just blows my mind. I don't think I've ever met anybody who's ever said something like that to me, and it took me back for a minute.
It's not that. Here's the thing. It's not that important to me. I really don't care. I don't care. I care more that I've worked so hard at what I do that when you see it, you see what I want you to see.
I read a quote from you that I thought was really interesting, and I'm hoping you could expound upon what you meant by it a little bit. Somebody was interviewing you and talking about how your style has grown from when you started to where you are now.
Uh-huh.
And we're talking. Let's talk about your storytelling style a little bit. But you said you feel like you're no longer just telling jokes; that now you're, grown into a comedian. What does that mean?
It just means being honest. So, you know, the difference between being a joke teller and being a comic to me is that when you're a comic, you're opening yourself up. Now, whatever that is, you don't have to, so it doesn't mean you're bearing your soul. You don't have to bare your soul. Mm-hmm. Some people rant, which tells me what your view is on the world.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like Kevin Hart just do really big, ridiculous, broad stories. That tells me who he is. Mm-hmm. He's just a big, happy, you know what I mean? You're opening yourself up honestly in whatever way you want to do that. And so for me, what forced my hand on that was when I became a single dad, I had no release. I was living in one room with the three kids. I made like $1,200 a month in LA, which is nothing. And I didn't have therapy. I didn't have enough money for therapy. So stage became my therapy, and it became way more honest. And I was getting a different type of reaction, a deeper laugh, longer, more sustained laughs. I was getting people coming up to me after the show telling me their stories, which told me they were connecting with me in a way they had never connected with me before. There were people who would say, hey, you were really funny. And I would have friends tell me, man, you were so funny last night. But remind me of some of your jokes. I want to tell the guys in the office. They just couldn't remember because they didn't connect to them at all.
Sure.
But as soon as you tell them something about you that's honest and true and people start connect, they know you. They connect to you. You're sharing a piece.
In a way, that's you putting your own gold stamp on people.
Yes. Yeah, and so for me, that's the difference, is that I learned so many different things. Like, I silence is okay. Is it interesting? Then they're going to stick with you. Like, if you start worrying, and I think podcasts and shows like this
mm-hmm.
have really helped guys like me who do long-form story, because the audience is more used to listening for a couple minutes with no laughs, mm-hmm. as long as it's interesting. Are you keeping them engaged?
They listen for hours at a time without laughs.
Yeah, I mean, his act.
Did you find during that time, because I went through kind of a similar thing when I started stand-up. I was going through kind of a tumultuous time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started, my persona on stage was much different than I was off stage. Oh, and eventually it met in the middle.
Yeah.
And now I'm the same way. But it definitely met in the middle. Like, both aspects of my life changed. Did you find that too?
You know, what's changed the most for me on stage, and I think this is probably the same for, well, I don't know, actually. What's changed for me the most is energy.
Yeah.
I used to be, and I would loud the entire show. I learned that you can't go at 10 an entire show. Mm-hmm. It's got to be a show. There's got to be ups and downs with the laughs too. You can't have people laughing at 10 the whole time. There have to be ups and downs. You're taking them on a journey. It's part of the journey. The lull, and when I mean lull, I just mean the, you know, whatever that
shutting
part.
Shutting up stuff, generally.
Yes. Brings the peaks even higher.
That's the thing. I tend to think of it a lot like a roller coaster when you're doing a setup or a punch. Like, it's a little boring hearing the click, 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 click. But that click, click, click is also getting people anticipating something.
I have a joke online. It's something that went viral, and I have to tell you, it was a story that I had stopped telling. It was just not in my act anymore.
Mm-hmm. Which story is
it? It's a story about my best practical joke. It's on Facebook. It's at something like 48 million views. Something crazy, and I had stopped telling this joke, and but that joke is where I learned so many things about how to tell a story. The setup, that click, click, click you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can't go 5 minutes with no laughs.
100%.
But they don't need to be the big ones. Just keep them interested. And then there's a 2 or 3 minute period in that joke, 4 minute period, where it's I'm throwing punches. But the punches wouldn't have landed if I hadn't had the confidence to set everything up.
Yeah.
I would not, as a young comic, have had the confidence to set that up, to tell a 15-minute story where the first 6 minutes, 5 minutes, I just have to hope you're with me.
I think it was Vinny said to me, you know, I think the way you worded it once, you always got to set the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you have to.
Yeah.
And you have to, for me, I like painting a picture. For me, I want you to know what the world I'm in feels like. That's important. We're in the same world now because I'm telling you a story. So for it to have to land the way I want it to land, I need you to know everything.
Just like a book.
There's a lens.
There is. I need you to know everything. There's some things that some people don't think are important. To me, it just colors in the picture. So now I don't need to explain anything else. You're not wondering anything else. And you're in the story with me. And that works best for me.
See, it's funny because
that's why I tell you all these boring stories, is I want you to be in the story with me.
I wish some people would be less brave about stories. You know, my best friend in the world is a lawyer.
Yeah.
And this motherfucker, you take him to anything, it's 1,000 questions before he could get to the joke and enjoy the joke. Like, you'll hear everything that you said, but why didn't you just say that? And like, nitpicks everything.
Yeah.
That's why I appreciate what you just said, because when you make it undeniable all the way through and you have the detail, and like you said, you're painting it with a fine brush. That's real art.
And I'm also telling you the things you need to know. I'm telling you the things I'm painting in the part of the picture where even if you don't, you're like, why do I need to know that? Just trust me when I tell you, I've told it a few times now, it works better with this in it. For whatever reason, this is a piece of the puzzle you need.
Yeah.
And so, but I will tell you, the people who come see my shows, look, I tell them all the time. It's one of the things I say at my show. I hope nobody came here to learn anything tonight. It's not that type of show on purpose. And I used to feel bad about that. I used to, my show is a pretty full on show. I do 50, 55 minutes of stand up, and then I do like 15 with a guitar. And I used to be scared with that guitar because we live in such a small community where I was like, oh, I don't want to be the prop guy. I don't want to be the guitar guy. But when I realized, and this helped my stand-up too, I'm not performing for other comics. Sure. I'm performing for the people who pay tickets to come to my show.
And we don't think normal.
And the people who come to my shows are like me. They want to turn their brain off for an hour. They just want to have some silly fun. And that's what I do. I provide a show. You saw the show last night?
Yeah.
It's
fun.
I tell the 55 minutes of stand-up are three stories. It's just three long stories.
Brian, if you could get one of your stories into 55 minutes.
That would be great. Yeah, if you could really condense it down, that would be nice.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be really
good.
I'll
keep working on it.
Well, listen, folks, you can see these stories are for yourself tonight and tomorrow night at Comedy at the Carlson. You get your tickets 585-4 Comedy. You can visit carlsoncomedy.com right now and get your tickets to see Josh Wolf. I got to get you out of here because of Mark's time constraints on me.
I know you've lost all concept of time and space, but
yeah,
Mark honestly has no idea.
This room's like Vegas. I have no idea what time it is.
You know how many people say that? They walk out of here and they go, how the hell did you keep me in there that long?
What time is it?
Not telling you.
Okay.
So I have one last question.
Go.
And I want your honest answer on this, because I think that you're in an interesting place because of the way your career has been climbing.
Yeah. By the way, recently, you know, this whole ride is peaks and valleys.
Oh, yeah.
The what's happening on my YouTube page right now is I would have never thought at this point in my career, but I just put a video up 3 weeks ago called My Son Ate My Weed. My son stole an edible.
I watched it the other day.
3 weeks, had over 1 million views. I got 40,000 new subscribers in 2 weeks.
Damn.
I'm breaking up my new special, and I'm putting it on YouTube this week.
You're brilliant. You're brilliant.
And people have started to find me on YouTube in a way that I am – I'm going to tell you honestly. I'm so humbled by it. I'm so humbled by the fact that, honestly, every time I step on stage, I know who's on my list of people that I would leave the house and pay money to see.
Mm-hmm.
I know who's on my list. Dave Grohl's on that list.
Mm-hmm.
So to think that I'm somebody's Dave Grohl, that you're leaving the house to see me, every time I step on stage, I'm so humbled to know that those people left the house to see me. And what's happening right now on the YouTube page, my mind is blown, because I just feel I'm just telling the same silly stories I always have, you know? But people are starting to really respond to them. It's so crazy.
Honesty, man. People respond to honesty.
Yeah.
And like that story you told about your son and the edible is hysterical.
Yeah.
It is very, very funny.
It's a funny, I mean, it's great. It's good stuff. And people like, it happens a lot.
He was right on the side of stage. He travels with me sometimes.
That's funny.
He was
How old is he?
Well, right now he's 21.
Okay.
Right now he's 21. Yeah, but he
can buy his own now.
What's that?
He can buy his own now.
Oh, yeah, I ran into him in my weed store, dude. I ran into him and I go, hey,
oh,
dude.
The halcyon days we live in.
Oh, it was crazy. I go, hey, man. And he goes, oh, hey. I go, what are you doing here? He goes, I think the same thing you're doing here, right? And then he went to put his wallet away. I go, what are you doing? He goes, well, you're here. You're buying, right? I go, no, dude, this isn't Baskin and Robbins. We didn't just leave your Little League game, man. I'm not buying you three scoops of OG Kush, motherfucker. That's not how this works. Yeah. Ask away. What do you got?
I guess my question is, like, right now, if you were someone, like, let's erase your career.
Okay.
Let's erase it all. If you were starting in comedy right now, mm-hmm. where do you think you would start? Where would you put your focus?
Content.
Mm-hmm.
Just content.
Best answer I've heard in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Content. I would.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. And also, so what content does, it's the same thing except updated for 2018. So what I would have told a young comic in the 80s is get on stage as many times as you can. That's content. By doing as much content as you can, you're just going to get better. The more stuff you do, the more you find out who you are. The quicker you fail, the quicker you succeed. Just so you know, mm-hmm. if you are holding on to not wanting to fail, if you're holding on to being scared to try shit, then you're never going to succeed. The quicker you get all the shit out of the way that you don't do well is when you'll figure out what you do well. I said do-do. And when you figure that out, you'll figure that out by continuously putting out content. Guys, and if you're thinking I'm going to lose fans, not true. I know a comic who she consistently put out bad things on Instagram, but she just consistent and little by little, and she's got a huge following. And then now she knows who she is and what she does, and those people now come to find her. Content. If you're scared to fail, you will never succeed. And the quicker you fail, the quicker you'll get to where you want to go. That would be me for sure. Content.
Josh Wolf, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, thank you.
That was a clinic.
He shouldn't clap like that. This is not good.
Because he's an old man.
That's
what we call his nickname around here is Pop, in case you were wondering.
We're the same age.
Yeah, but
he's
not really.
So much younger. Yeah.
He just feels younger. He has a young vibe.
I feel younger. My socks are up a little higher, so I don't have to see those pale ass legs.
Yeah.
You can't see my legs.
Right here.
Lies.
Look at right here.
Is that legs?
Son of a bitch.
I have Josh Wolf this weekend. I'm sorry.
Look at my legs. Look how white those are.
Oh my God. I can hear them.
And you live in California, dude?
Yeah. My legs are so white, they're almost blue. They're like a light blue.
They do have a tint of blue.
They have a huey blue. Yeah.
Brian has a green tint to him at most times. We're going to be back with the news with Ross Johnson, so make sure you get your tickets to see Josh Wolf this weekend, 5854 Comedy, carlsoncomedy.com, and we'll be right back. Every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit carlsoncast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.
All right. It is that time again where we kick things over to our Oso.
What's an adjective for him? Sparkly?
Our sparkly newsman.
Yeah, there
sparkly.
We go.
That's Ross Johnson. Yeah. How are you, Ross?
I was ready to be upset, but I like that. I can do sparkly. That's fine.
It's Christmas. I'm feeling it's a giving season.
Thank you, Brian. That's so sweet.
Okay.
It's a Christmas miracle.
It is.
So hey, everybody.
Hey, man.
Got some news.
What's going on?
I'll tell you.
Let's just land. Kind of why he's here.
So Artie Lang, we like, not dead.
Hey!
That nose.
Every day, Artie Lang's alive.
I still understand the nose. So he's recently out of rehab. He was there for 28 days, so I'm sure that'll take care of all of his problems. But so he decided after this month of rehab and feels like this place did a great job and that it's very expensive and he has insurance. So he has he's announced that he's going to start basically a rehab scholarship. He's going to do 1 to 2 shows every month as long as he lives, he says. So. You know, hopefully for a while. And he's going to put all that money. I'm just saying.
Didn't even make, we're all thinking that joke, but I'm not, we had the decency not
to make it. It's
not
even a joke. I'm just, you know, it's it's just kind of a.
It's such low-hanging fruit.
He's doing well. He's doing well.
Whatever type of fruit he replaced his nose with. That's right? Just not the front.
See, that's
of his
good.
Face. I got nothing.
So anyway, he's going to do this, and he's going to basically, if people contact him on Twitter and say they need this, he's going to basically take the proceeds from these 1 to 2 shows a month and put it towards somebody's rehab at this place.
That's nice.
It is nice.
What
would
you
get?
Amazing thing.
So what would you get? And Brian probably just knows this, but what would you guess that rehab at a, I guess a relatively fancy place would cost for a month?
Well, I have no idea. $50,000.
20.
Yeah, it's 30. So you guys are.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
If this was The Price is Right.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
Vinny
just saying.
Vinny won the rehab.
I almost said 30, but that's a question you don't want to nail.
But it is like, you figure somebody's got a drug problem. How many people with drug problems, aside from like rock stars, have $30,000?
Yeah, but if it works, it's worth it, you know?
Well, if it works, but still, you still got to get $30,000. I mean, like.
It's amazing that you
moderately
like,
middle class person, and I don't know where I'd come up with $30,000 for a month.
Well, you better figure it out because I have some pictures.
Sure. I'm just gonna say I'm gonna make a little point here, and I mean I'm sure that there's ways that the government does do this, but if you fall in a Walmart parking lot, an ambulance will come and take you and treat you.
Vinny knows this.
They will come and take care of you. They will take you, and then they give you a bill.
They'll get you out from underneath the car.
It'd be nice if some of these nicer rehabs.
Life, you.
It costs a lot of money to make them. I get it, but
or if the cheaper ones were better,
or make the cheaper ones better. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know about rehab. Like, is it so? I mean, is it $30,000? Is it $30,000 worth of stuff, or is it like when you go to the hospital and they charge you $80 for an Advil? I don't know. You know what I mean?
I think it's a little of the latter. Yeah.
I'm not.
The fancy ones, though, you get to stay in a nice place. You have great food and stuff. But
yeah, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's a nice place to stay for a month. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, what else we got?
Okay, so Cat Williams news.
Yay!
Now we're talking.
But there's nothing sad this time. So Cat Williams is going to be joining the cast of Black-ish for at least an episode or two. He's going to play Dre's young cousin. So this is the father of the Kevonsani Wallace character, Kira. What he's going to be doing, I don't know, but that's according to In Touch magazine. So he's going to
show ABC?
Yeah.
Ironically,
telling me ABC is hiring Cat Williams right now?
Ironically, he's playing a grocer.
Aww, poor Cat Williams. It's like everything's two tracks with him. There's this like crazy cracked out in a grocery store track, and then there's the like
Emmy Award show.
So I you never know with him. It's just week to week.
He is a gift.
Well, that's it. Because if it were all the one thing, he'd be gone, and then that would be it. So like I think the one keeps the other one kind of in line.
Interesting. All right. Well, congratulations.
That's my theory. That's my grand coordinated theory of Cat Williams.
It's not a terrible one. What else you got, buddy?
Okay, so the first ever Carol Burnett Award honoring the highest achievement in television has been announced. This is a new award from the.
Did we win?
This is a new award.
Did we win?
We did not win.
Oh.
I'm sorry. The award is going to Carol Burnett. So this is very exciting. So good for her. We're very proud.
I would like to now announce today that next month we're going to award the Brian Ball Award for awesomeness
to Vinny Paulino.
To Vinny Paulino.
We'll have to wait and see who wins it.
Year after year, Brian's like, come on, it's me.
Yeah. So, that would be my life. They made an award after me, and Vinny would win it every year.
I'm going to be honest with you, Ross. He hasn't even won the Carlson Cast Employee of the Month Award yet.
Stupid.
And I'm the only one who's been here the whole time.
Yeah. Someday.
Well, you know, contribute. What else you got, Ross?
Okay, so just wrapping up. So nothing too, got the holiday. Nothing too horrible this
week. I love that Carol Burnett got her own award.
I love that, too, and I love her, and I don't care. She can give herself awards all day, as far as I'm concerned.
Sure.
So the Grammy nominees for Best Comedy Album.
As long as that Vicki Lawrence gets nothing.
<Damn it. laughs>
Wow, that's a throwback reference.
Wow, we're going old school. R.I.P. Cadbury. Just died this week.
I think people get Mama's Family jokes, right?
No.
I don't think so.
I love that you just mentioned Ken Berry.
He died this week.
No one else knows who that is except you and me, literally.
I do not know who that is.
I guess we're sparkling together today,
Ross. Love it.
Who is it?
He was the son on Mama's Family.
He was Vinny. No.
Yeah. And he also was, for some reason, when they changed the Andy Griffith Show to Mayberry.
Oh, yeah.
He was the sheriff. Like, Andy Griffith was like, I'm done with this.
He was in a couple other things. He was like, he's one of those people you might have seen if you were old enough, which you are, and saw TV.
He's one of those guys whose face I'd be like, oh, that guy.
Yeah. Well, he's dead. So the
and Carol Burnett got another award. Great.
Carol Burnett got another award.
Perfect.
So so wrapping up this week, the Grammy nominees for Best Comedy Album were announced.
Who do we got?
Sorry, sadly, no nominees in this room. I don't want to bury the lead there. So the nominees are Patton Oswalt's Annihilation.
Okay.
Very good.
Dave Chappelle's Equanimity and the Bird Revelation.
That was a great special.
Yeah, which I guess was an album as well. That sort of confused me, but I guess you can be a Netflix special and put out a CD and then get... So, good. Jim Gaffigan's Noble Ape. Fred Armisen's Stand Up for Drummers. And Chris Rock's Tambourine.
Wow.
All good choices.
Yeah, the Chris Rock is interesting because I guess it's his first album in 12 years, and except for his first one, he's never lost when he's been nominated, so that's an interesting one. But
Mulaney got it last year, right? No, he got an Emmy for his.
Yeah.
So we'll give you some answers.
Who are you guys voting for?
Who am I voting for?
Yeah, like you're
I'd say Patton.
I
really like.
Is that your one. Like? Is that your who you think's going to win choice?
I'm trying
or is
to
that
remember.
That's
to
who
choose?
I would.
Okay. Is that
would
choose, the that Chappelle one? Is that
Chappelle
the one,
will win?
Is that the one he did in front of the small audience at the Comedy Store? Is that the one where he had the 50 people in the crowd?
I think that's all he's had this year. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. I think it was
okay. I'll give it to him because that was an awesome special. I mean Chappelle, that was amazing. That was a great special, all day.
All right, there you have
okay,
it.
That's it.
Me though. I guess, but I like Brian says Patton Oswalt, who's great.
I like Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, I got no problem with Patton at all.
I'm
sure Chappelle will win it.
I only saw the Dave Chappelle one, but I liked both of those two things.
Sure.
So that's the news.
All right. Well, that's the end of our show this
week.
Happy
holidays.
Thank you for making it to the end. You're our hero. Make sure you are subscribed, everybody. CarlsonCast.com for all your links. And make sure you follow Josh Wolf and come to see him this weekend for four more shows. Tickets are available 585-4-COMEDY or CarlsonComedy.com. And would you be so kind as to leave us a review? Can you help
please.
Us out along with 5 stars? Anything less than that is a slap in the face.
And mention my name.
If it's lower than you can mention Brian's name. No, you guys are the greatest. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week with Rob Little, who's a powerhouse if you've never seen him. See you next time. Thank you. Good night. Hit the closer there, buddy.